From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Thank you for joining us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns brings the next portion of a message entitled Introduction to Paul's Second Missionary Journey, part of this series of studies in the Book of Acts. Before Dr. Cairns comes, please enjoy this brief devotional thought taken from Spurgeon's collection called Morning by Morning.
This morning's text is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Morning, Christian, why weepest thou? Art thou mourning over thine own corruptions? Look to thy perfect Lord, and remember thou art complete in him. Thou art in God's sight as perfect as if thou hadst never sinned. Nay, more than that, the Lord our righteousness hath put a divine garment upon thee, so that thou hast more than the righteousness of man, thou hast the righteousness of God. O thou who art mourning by reason of inbred sin and depravity, remember none of thy sins can condemn thee. Thou hast learned to hate sin, but thou hast learned also to know that sin is not thine. It was laid upon Christ's head. Thy standing is not in thyself, it is in Christ. Thine acceptance is not in thyself, but in thy Lord. Thou art as much accepted of God today, with all thy sinfulness, as thou wilt be when thou standest before his throne, free from all corruption. Oh, I beseech thee, lay hold on this precious thought, perfection in Christ, for thou art complete in him. With thy Savior's garment on, thou art holy as the Holy One. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Christian, let thy heart rejoice, for thou art accepted in the Beloved. What hast thou to fear? Let thy face ever wear a smile. Live near thy Master. Live in the suburbs of the celestial city. For soon, when thy time has come, thou shalt rise up where thy Jesus sits, and reign at his right hand, even as he is overcome, and has sat down at his Father's right hand. And all this, because the divine Lord was made to be sin for us, he who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him.
Stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe. fly by trade to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry. Nor could the scroll contain the whole, the stretch from sky to sky. The
If you've been blessed by the beautiful sacred music which forms a part of Let the Bible Speak broadcasts, you may obtain a CD containing a sampling of these Christ-honoring selections. Entitled Our Great Redeemer's Praise, this CD will provide you with nearly an hour of such beloved pieces as Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven, Be Still, My Soul, May the Mind of Christ My Savior, and In Heavenly Love Abiding. The songs are performed by the various musical groups of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. This CD is available free of charge to our Let the Bible Speak listeners. To obtain a copy, you may contact us by email, by telephone, or by regular mail. You may write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may simply call our toll-free number, 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Ask for your free copy of Our Great Redeemer's Praise. Continuing this series of studies in the book of Acts, Dr. Cairns is dealing with the continuing progress of the expansion of the early church. Following the council at Jerusalem, Paul and Barnabas prepared to embark upon their second evangelistic tour. At this point, a tragic event occurred between the two. Barnabas determined to take John Mark with them, but Paul refused because Mark had abandoned them during their first mission. The sad result was a hindrance to the work and the breakup of one of the greatest missionary teams the world has ever seen. There are important lessons for all of God's people to be learned from this unhappy event. Now to bring the next portion of this message, Introduction to Paul's Second Missionary Journey, here is Dr. Cairns.
My friend, it is time for this strictness and this severity to reach every John Mark-like heart amongst us. It is time for God to take the word and to plunge it into our beings. It is time for God's people to feel the grievousness of sin and to feel that you and I have grieved God. or we can become so self-satisfied and so full of complacency. But oh, that we would feel the rottenness of our sin, the rottenness of our coldness of heart, because we may condemn John Mark for falling away. And you and I need it just as much as he did. But he also needed the clemency. He needed a word of consolation. He needed a word of comfort. He needed a word that would give the lie to the devil. Because I know, if I know anything, I know that the devil came to John Mark and said, "You're finished. You're finished." He always does that. When a Christian feels and he hits the dust of defeat, the devil comes and says, "You're finished. There's no place left for you." He's a liar. And John Mark needed to know that. He needed to have the message of restoration. He needed to have the message of forgiveness. So often we preach against sin, and it needs to be preached against. So often there is missing the tenderness of the love of Jesus Christ. That there is forgiveness with the Lord, not that he may be mocked, not that he may be made light of, but that he may be feared. So he needed this. In fact, if you, at your leisure sometime, look at 2 Corinthians 7, you'll find that the Lord uses both those things, severity and clemency, to deal with his people. The Lord uses both to bring us to a right relationship with him. The sin here, and I use the word sin because Paul was in sin and Barnabas was in sin to a certain degree. I'm not going to try and allocate percentage of blame, but certainly they were both to be faulted and blamed here. And the sin was that they had a grievous dispute. They made it a matter of either severity or clemency, when what was called for was a good dose of both of them. And I would have thought that those mighty men of God ought to have known how to go about this. But their sin was grievous. A great dispute. Notice the course of this dispute. Verse 39, the contention was so sharp between them. That's always a sad thing to read among God's people. Hot words. Isn't it a sad thing that even among two of the greatest and godliest and holiest men the world has ever seen, men who had shared revival together, men who had faced death together, men who couldn't be put asunder by the most bitter persecutions, here among these men, to find the vicious tongue, the hot words, tension was sharp. There's strife here. Strife of tongues. God save us from it. The strife of tongues. Before you ever use your tongue, go and have a good prayerful read at the third chapter of James. How often we have heard people pray with the holiest of words and the most spiritual and pure of desires. And a few minutes later, with that same tongue, they can rip asunder their brethren in Jesus Christ. Something wrong there. Something sadly lacking there. Strife of tongues. Notice their sin. I mentioned this before, so I'm just going to go over it very quickly. Notice their sin in this. There's not a word that Barnabas took it to the Lord in prayer. There's not a word that Paul took it to the Lord in prayer. Do you want me to give you my opinion? I have told you before, I am very hesitant about criticizing these mighty men, because whatever their faults, they are so high above anything of anybody else in the world today that it's like a field mouse shouting at an elephant that it's too tiny. But I'll give you my opinion here. I believe that Barnabas was so sure he was right, he didn't need to pray. I don't need to ask the Lord about this. I'm right. And I believe that Paul knew that he was right. And he was so sure he was right that there's not a mention here about praying. Now, when they're going out to on their first missionary journey, we find that they were in prayer about the very work, and the Holy Ghost spake. And I have absolute confidence that had they taken this to the Lord in prayer, the Holy Ghost would have spoken again. I have no doubt about that. And while it's always dangerous to build too much of an argument on the silence of Scripture rather than the very plain statements of Scripture, I think in this case the silence is very eloquent. That men who are noted as men of God and men of prayer and men of holiness and men of spirituality do not show a prayerful spirit here. There's not a mention that they prayed. And that's their sin. Look, let me tell you, it's always wrong for a Christian to be in the position where he says, even if he doesn't mouth the words and give them to the world, yet he thinks it in his heart. I don't need to pray about this because I know I'm right. That's all the more reason you should go and get the Lord's endorsement. Had these men prayed, what an awful calamity would have been avoided. Then I think there's stubbornness also. Very evidently the church agreed with Paul. That would lead us to think, I suppose, that most of the right was on his side. Leads me to believe that John Mark had not at that time exhibited a repentant spirit. As I showed you in our study, he did later. But at that time he mustn't have shown a penitent spirit. And the church certainly were on Paul's side, because we read that he was commended to the grace of God for this journey. There's not a word that they commended Barnabas. Barnabas just sailed out. And although he continued to work for God, I believe he sailed out into God's second best. It's always a tragedy when that happens. Can you see this great man? And he was a great man. Let me tell you, Barnabas is one of the most precious souls in the whole of the New Testament. There's not a more likable man in the New Testament. There's not a more Christ-like man for the rest of his ministry that we have read than Barnabas. I would to God that we had the spirit that was in Barnabas. But here he is, and he gets stubborn. He gets stubborn. That's out of character with him. But he does get stubborn anyway. Even though he was usually so mild, on this occasion he was unwilling to budge an inch. We read, you see, to start with, he determined, before he knew the rights and wrongs, before he had sought the Lord, before God had given direction, he was determined. He was predetermined, and no argument would change him. Now what a course that dispute took. Notice the consequence of it. There was a complete separation. They, verse 39, departed asunder. Now, it's not the same word as translated departed in the case of John Mark. There's no thought, no insinuation that they fell away in any degree. But they simply separated the one from the other. And that, to me, was a tragedy. First of all, this was the greatest missionary team in the early church. I don't think there ever has been another missionary team in the history of the world like Paul and Barnabas. And they split asunder. Let me say something. I had no intention of pursuing this line, but it seems to me strange. It's a heartbreak to think of it, because it's not only ancient history. I see it in the Church of Jesus Christ all the time. I've seen it in the Free Church. Here are men. And when Paul was being stoned to the death, Barnabas wouldn't leave him. Here are men, and when their lives were in jeopardy, they stood shoulder to shoulder, and not every big gun of hell could separate between these men of God. And yet, over sinful, stupid stubbornness, over some small thing as to who would be their servant, who would be their helper, they split up. They split up and they destroy the greatest missionary machine that God gave in the early church. I have seen men in the Free Church who have stood shoulder to shoulder with us when the battle was white hot. I'm thinking of men who stood when it cost everything to be a Free Presbyterian. I'm thinking of men who stood when people literally spat in your face when they found out you were a Free Presbyterian. And yet, having stood in the heat of the battle, there came a day when some little thing arose and they split asunder. I think of one man who was a very dear friend of mine. I have been told that he has much maligned me on many occasions. I can never bear that man a grudge or ill will. I love him with all my heart. I owe a lot to him in the Lord. I can never forget the man he was for God. And you know, to this day, every time I think of that man, I could weep. He's embittered. His life is ruined. Oh, he's going on with God. He's not in the world. He'll never go back into the world. I believe that. He loves the Lord. He's in a church that's as dead as the timber that you're sitting on this morning. Oh, it's orthodox. It's dead right, with the emphasis on the dead. And he'll never be anything for God again. Unless the Lord gives him a mighty baptism of repentance and turning away, eating humble pie. And I don't see that happening. It didn't happen to Barnabas. Men and women, and you young people, be very, very, very careful over what you allow to separate between you and those with whom you're supposed to be standing for God. You see, like any other dispute, the tragedy is both of these men had good reason for the stand that they took. Paul wanted to make sure that he did what was right. Isn't that a good enough reason? Paul wanted to make sure that the standards were kept high in the work of God. That's a good reason. Paul wanted to make sure that John Mark had really repented and had really been reestablished. That's good thinking. He had good reason for the stand that he took. But then Barnabas had good reason. Because you see, one characteristic of Barnabas that I find in the Acts of the Apostles is this, that he could see an awful lot further than most other people. Barnabas was a man to whom the Lord gave the gift of being able to discern the potential in a man. He saw it in Saul of Tarsus when nobody else would touch him. It was Barnabas who saw what God could do with Saul of Tarsus when he got saved. And when the rest of the church were dead scared of him, it was Barnabas put his reputation in the line. It was Barnabas took him. It was Barnabas presented him to the apostles. It was Barnabas put him into the work and gave him a start in the work of God. Barnabas was always a good man for seeing the potential in a man. And as later events showed, he was very right. There was great potential in John Mark. As Paul himself recognized, he became one of the most cherished men that Paul knew. He said, he is very profitable. He is very useful to me in the ministry. And a later date. So they both had good cause for the stand that they took. The tragedy is that they allowed themselves to be so blinded by strife that they split up this great missionary team in the early church. And yet, you know, even in their dispute, these men have something to teach us. Evidently, each accepted the decision that the other made. And there's not a word that there was any name calling or any slanging matches. There was no imputation of unclean or ungodly or selfish or carnal motives. Paul did not say, Barnabas did it, and this is the reason. He didn't try to enter into Barnabas's mind. Barnabas did not say, Paul did it, and this is the reason. You know, some of the disputes that arise among the people of God are bad enough in themselves. But what makes them worse is when Christians start to imagine that they can read the other people's mind and conscience, and they give the reasons why they do certain things. Now, you find it hard enough to know your own mind, especially the women among you. Very hard to know your own heart and your own mind. So in God's name, leave it to the Lord to deal with other people's minds. The Lord Jesus says, by a man's words, he will be justified or he'll be condemned. Let's not enter into the mind-reading business. So often disputes have been made so much worse by the slanging matches that come afterwards. And there's nothing more unwholesome than to see men like Paul and Barnabas. Thank God they didn't do it. But men like this who are fighting the same battle, who are serving the same Lord, who are taking the same stand, who have divided on an issue which is not essential to the gospel, entering into a bitter wrangling match and miscalling each other. My, how the devil laughs at the folly of so many of God's people. So in their dispute, they even have quite a bit to teach us.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.